TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf here with Manny Hill on another edition of Myron on Hoops. Man, it's been a wild stretch, man, in the NBA, and we're going to talk about that and LeBron James passing Michael Jordan, which some people are calling it a record. You all need to look up the definition of record. It's not a record if you're in fourth place. maybe with like these young folks, maybe, you know, this whole like everybody gets a ribbon culture, maybe fourth place is a Kareem is still the all-time scoring leader, people.
38,387 points, and I remember that number very, very well.
Stop saying LeBron James set a record or passed Michael Jordan's record. Michael Jordan didn't have the record, right. So LeBron James can't have the record. We'll get to that. We'll get to Karl Towns evolving into a future MVP. We'll get to Andrew Wiggins, honestly, statistically, maybe being the worst player in the NBA. And I'm not lying to you when I say that. We'll get to all that. But I want to stand up for myself at the start of this show, Manny. And okay. I'm just tired. I have been here in this city covering sports since 2007. I've been here since 01, but 2007 is when I covered the Gophers, started covering the Gophers for the Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you know, whatever, people say what they want to say, message boards, all that good stuff. So a lot of people have developed this idea that when it comes to Gophers basketball, that I have some sort of vendetta, something against the team, always negative. Let me just state this.
I've even gotten that.
Listen. I got three little girls at home. I don't have time to have a vendetta against anybody. People, I'm just telling you what I see. And the Gophers have had some problems that have followed multiple coaches. And one of the things I tweeted, Manny, was Richard Pitino's problem is he's not going to get the top-tier talent in his own state. Now, a lot of guys have that problem. Mm-hmm. If you've got five-star kids and you're somewhere in the Midwest, Duke is coming, Kansas is coming, Kentucky's coming. You're going to have to fight off all those schools, and you're going to lose.
Harrison Barnes. Top player in Ames, Iowa. Went to North Carolina.
His mom worked at Iowa State.
Iowa State, yes. In his backyard.
His mom worked at Iowa State, and they couldn't get him. Trey Jones, Tyus Jones didn't come. Matthew Hurt, heck of a player, he ain't coming.
Karl-Anthony Towns grew up in Piscataway, New Jersey. He had Rutgers in his backyard. Yeah, he wasn't going to Rutgers.
Rutgers, you want me to visit? You want me to visit? Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Maybe never. But when you're Richard Pitino in that situation, Manny, you've got to find other ways to recruit. Usually that means you are recruiting players from other markets and within your own market who are second-tier talents. Now, teams like Tennessee will show you, if you get a Grant Williams and an Admiral Schofield, you can create a contender like that. Mm-hmm. But there are so many guys who don't reach that level, who don't do what they did, come in as 2- and 3-star prospects and develop into All-Americans and NBA prospects. So you're kind of stuck. It's just difficult for anybody who gets this job, whether Richard Pitino keeps his job or he loses his job, you're going to have the same problem at this school. I think Richard Pitino saved his job beating Purdue. What do you think, Manny?
I think so, too, yeah. I thought in the weeks leading up to this point of the year, I thought that his job was really going to depend on whether or not he made the NCAA tournament. And I think with that win over Purdue, I think they secured a spot in the NCAA tournament. Thus, I think Richard Pitino is going to be back next year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Mark Coyle, I don't know how you justify the buyout, going to get a new coach after this. They're going to make the tournament. Mm-hmm. And what more could you really ask for, considering the ups and downs that this team has faced this year? But there's another thing that's being left out of the conversation about the Richard Pitinos, about just guys who are competing for top talent. And that's something called cheating. I, Manny, I'm on my way to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where a man named Will Wade coaches LSU, and there are reports that he has been recorded on a wiretap brokering a deal for the services of a player. Now, I don't know, you know, the details of that, but I do know this. Cheating happens in college basketball. We all know.
No way. Really?
Believe it or not.
Cheating? In college athletic? Myron, come on, stop.
Can you believe it?
No way.
Believe it or not. It happens. I love how the FBI came out 2 years ago and was like, we figured it out. Kids are getting money. Oh. I mean, there were scandals in the 1940s, people. But Will Wade is the center of this, and Sean Miller's been caught up in the FBI thing. There's a lot of stuff coming.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a trial in April that, you know, a lot of wiretaps are going to be played. And folks are going to lose their jobs because are going to be on these tapes saying, hey, I paid this player, or suggesting they would pay a player. Cheating is the other element of the recruiting world that isn't discussed enough. Because there is a market for top talent, whether anybody likes it or not. So the Richard Pitinos of the world are also presented with situations where you can keep this kid, Manny. You can keep this kid home, or you can go get this kid from another market. But what you going to do to get him? That is a very real thing.
Yeah.
That happens in college basketball. And you've got to decide if you're going to be that coach. Tubby Smith, one of the great knocks against him at Kentucky was he couldn't get the top level, you know, Ron Mercer kind of guys, Antoine Walker kind of guys that Kentucky was used to.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask folks around Tubby why that was, they'll say because he wouldn't cheat. He wouldn't cheat to get some of these guys.
Yeah.
And if you follow Tubby around and go, why didn't he recruit well here? Why didn't he recruit as well at Texas Tech? Memphis fired him, obviously. A big part of Tubby is he wouldn't cheat. And the coaches who decide they're not going to cheat automatically put themselves at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
They automatically decide that there's a certain group of players, and it ain't all five-star kids. Let's stop telling these sob stories. Whole lot of poor kids play basketball. Whole lot of middle-class and upper-class kids are playing ball, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even every poor kid ain't asking for a handout either. But coaches have to make a decision, man.
They got to decide
about who they want to be.
Who they want
to
be.
How dirty you're going to be. Because if you're not dirty, if you're not bending rules at a school like Minnesota, there is a certain caliber. I shouldn't say that. There is a certain group of elite athletes that you'll never have access to.
You got no shot.
Because you're not going to dance. And a lot of these guys who were caught up in the FBI trial and the wiretaps, the assistant coaches,
mm-hmm.
who are on their way to prison, Manny.
Yeah.
Manny, prison.
Prison. Yeah, I know.
These were guys that I know. And these are guys who were caught up in this market for talent. But that's a part of the Minnesota story, and it's not just Minnesota, because Minnesota has had its chances to get a lot of talent. The guys have gone elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a part of this. Do you want coaches who bend the rules? Because there are a lot of guys you won't get unless you do. Sure, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, they can get what they want. They've got a legacy of history. But there are a whole lot of other schools that have sort of popped up and they've had like a good class here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are cheating, but some are.
Because some of those schools might even be directly competing with the Dukes and the Kentuckys. Exactly. And they're trying to close the gap between themselves and the Dukes and the Kentuckys. And they're willing to take that risk and go that extra mile to bend a few rules, break a few rules.
Yes.
To try and close the gap between themselves and the teams that are at the top.
Bro, you got a guy, Book Richardson was the former Arizona assistant who was arrested, charged, had a plea deal on his way to prison for brokering these deals to send players to certain financial advisors. And Book Richardson, and I don't know who's guilty, who's innocent. I'm just going to tell you what is reported. But Book was an AAU guy before he met Sean Miller. Mm. He was with the Gauchos of New York, which, you know, the Gauchos are known for bending a rule or two.
Sure.
But the Gauchos, you know, were a guy or a team. They had talent. Sean Miller adds him to his staff like a lot of guys did. Not because I want you to be a great assistant coach. Get players. He goes from being AAU dude in New York City to making about $400,000 a year living in Tucson, Arizona. Mm. I'm not going to excuse the behavior or say what anybody did or didn't do because I don't know those details, and I think it's dangerous to speculate.
Sure.
But I can assure you that I know assistants who have felt a certain pressure to do whatever they had to do to keep the pipeline of talent coming in. And if you go from making nothing to making $400,000, $400,000 will change your whole family. $400,000 a year might mean you move mom, you move dad, you move the kid. The kids are set for that's life changing money for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these coaches who have gotten caught up in this idea of I've got a great job,
I don't high paying
job,
it.
Don't want to lose it.
Yep. Because if I don't do what is necessary,
somebody else will.
They'll find somebody else who
Manny,
will.
Someone else will.
Yeah.
So I got to get that kid. What does the kid want? Well, mama wants X, Y, and Z. Daddy wants X, Y, and Z. Now, you're that assistant coach. We don't play that game. We don't do that. Okay, you're going to have your integrity. But now you got to go back to your head coach, and you got to say, I didn't get that player.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep coming back to that head coach saying, I didn't get that player, eventually that head coach is going to say, I need someone who can get players.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dirty, dirty game. I don't know what Richard Pitino does or doesn't do. Whole lot of folks in this game I knew were clean. I could have sworn they were clean. We're finding out that maybe they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I do know the Richard Pitinos of the world are competing in a dirty, dirty game. And unless you're willing to get dirty, you're always going to be at a disadvantage in college basketball. That's the reality, man.
Yeah, it's the game. And yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with college football, too.
Oh, man.
College athletics, period. I mean, these teams, and a lot of these head coaches that are, quote unquote, cheating, they know that this is, I mean, it's a business. College athletics is a business. You got to win to make money.
Yeah.
You gotta win to keep your job. How do you win? You win by getting the best talent possible. And a lot of these guys are gonna sell out and do whatever they possibly can to keep their job, to win as much as they can, make as much money as they possibly have as much success as they possibly can. They're willing to dance with the devil.
Manny, Kenny Payne, John Calipari's top assistant, makes $1 million a year as an assistant. He is, I believe, if you just put his salary.
What a sport, man.
I think he's making more than, you know, 60% of the head coaches in Division I.
What a sport, man.
$1 million.
My goodness.
$1 million, Manny.
An assistant coach making $1 million.
But like, what people don't see is there's a responsibility attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota has to do a better job of finding the 3-star, 4-star kids and hoping they develop into something more.
Yeah.
Minnesota has to do a better job of making sure the Jordan Taylors don't leave, the Brad Davisons, although, you know, Brad's getting himself into some trouble, but you got to make sure that guys like that don't leave. If a Wisconsin can find an Ethan Happ, who redshirted with that Final Four team a couple years ago, if they can find a Frank Kaminsky, there's got to be one here. J.P. McCurr, like guys like that, you got to see that. Nate Walters, South Dakota State kid. I remember sitting with Saul Smith at the state high school championship, Manny, and Nate Walters was playing that Hopkins team that had like eight D1 guys. Like Joe Coleman's coming off the bench for that team. And Nate Walters is just cooking. And I'm just looking at this dude and going, yo, this dude is playing a Division I team, and he's got 30. Saul Smith, well, yeah. Can he play defense? I said, Saul, let the other four dudes on the court play defense. Let this dude cook.
Let him get buckets.
Because that's what he does. Nate Walters goes on to be a really good player. South Dakota State, I believe, right?
Gets to the NBA.
Now he's making some money overseas. You can't let that dude leave. Nate Walters would have crawled to Minnesota.
Even so, now, McKinley Wright.
You cannot.
Out in Colorado.
That can't balling. Happen. Can't happen.
Balling.
That balling, can, that Myron. Cannot happen.
I know.
You've got to put up a wall around the talent in this state. That's not the Jalen Suggs and the Matthew Hurts. You got to get those other guys. But beyond that, when we're knocking Minnesota, and heck, I've been guilty of it, Manny, you've got to be aware that there's a game to be played, that a game is being played.
Yeah.
Manny, with so much cheating, I mean, it's hard to know who's the guiltiest. I'm headed down to see Will Wade in this whole situation. Who knows if Will Wade will even be there? But it's hard to know. Okay, you're getting this guy. But I know there are 20 other guys doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's college basketball's 90s baseball steroid scandal.
It's what it feels like, doesn't it?
And in that, we lied to ourselves and said Barry Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa were the only ones juicing. We lied to ourselves and said Lance Armstrong was the only guy doing EPO on the Tour de France. Because it's easier that way. But Manny, how do you view this? I mean, how do you view these guys knowing that there's so much of it happening?
It's hard. It's kind of one of those, it's very much, and I love that you made the steroid era comparison to it, because in some ways, with the steroid era, I'm very, very torn on it, because it's like, okay, yeah, well, Bonds was juicing and McGuire and Sosa was juicing and, you know, Alex Rodriguez was juicing and other guys. But everybody, Roger Clemens, everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the star players and you know, the other guys, the mediocre guys were doing it. And it's kind of the same thing with this whole thing with college basketball. You look around and you just say, oh, this guy might be doing it. That guy might be doing it. There's 20, 25, 30, 35, 50, maybe 50 guys. Maybe more than that.
Yes.
That are doing it. And if everybody's doing it.
What do you do?
What do you do?
Like, how do you?
What do you do?
One, it's like the kid who gets 100,000. Okay, it's easy to go. Oh, he's guilty. They took money. They're dirty. What about the kid who comes up to his coach and says, hey, look, mom called. We're getting evicted on Friday. If she doesn't come up with $1,000.
Yeah.
Coach makes that happen.
Yeah.
Who's guiltier? Who is the guiltiest between the two? I don't know how to wrap my brain around it. It's so prevalent, which doesn't make it right. But it does mean that there has to be a system to where kids can get help financially when they need it. I think players should be paid.
I agree.
I think players should be able to capitalize off their own likenesses.
At the very least, it should be that.
At the very least?
At the very least. I mean, if you're not going to pay these kids, at least allow them to go and make their own money.
Something. I mean, you just got to...
You know? If you don't want to pay the kids, I mean, I think they should be paying the kids, but if you don't want to pay these kids,
yeah,
at least let them go make their own damn money.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. But, you know, the NCAA has to get its money.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's a dirty game. And the one thing I can tell you is that there are a whole lot of coaches who have decided they're not going to play it. And their team suffered as a result. And that's something to always remember, you know, when you're criticizing the teams with coaches who don't play that game. We'll be back after this.
It's Mackie and Judd with Rami.
When did the dunk contest jump the shark?
If you actually pulled out a stuffed shark and jumped it to dunk.
Oh, yeah, and then ended it.
I love that.
The dunk contest did jump the shark, but I thought actually, was it last year that I was thoroughly entertained by the dunk contest? Do you guys remember who won it last year? What else are you going to watch this weekend? The AAF?
I'd rather drink.
Mackie and Judd with Rami.
On Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Constant coverage on your phone, your computer, your smart speakers, your radio.
Hear that?
Feast your ears. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf back on Myron on Hoops. Manny, I watched LeBron James pass Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list, although he needed more games and more time to do it, right? it didn't mean a whole lot to me. I don't know, like...
I kind of had that. It was, when I saw it, it was cool, you know, because I like LeBron. I root for LeBron and everything. But when it happened, it was just kind of like, eh. And I wonder if part of it is just because of everything else with the Lakers that's going on and just
they're terrible.
They're not playing well. They stink, basically.
Rondo's sitting in the fan seats.
How about Mark
Jackson?
What was that? How about Mark Jackson laying into him, too? That was interesting.
But, hey, he's just setting up that next coaching job, I think, or something, you know.
But, you know, with everything else going on with the Lakers and all the drama and speculating on Luke Walton's job and... You know, they tried to trade for Anthony Davis, and the trade didn't happen yet, and they're probably still going to get him this summer. But, you know, and then the injuries with LeBron and all, like, all this other stuff happened with the Lakers, and then it was just like, oh, yeah, he passed Michael Jordan. And also on top of that, it's like, it's the Lakers, and everybody knows about the Lakers. The Lakers are talked about all the time, but it's still West Coast, late-night game. A lot of people are in bed unless you're living on the West Coast.
Yeah, and even then you're at the beach. I mean, like,
yeah.
The one thing we got to stop pretending is if, like, the Lakers fans are the most invested fans of all time. When they're winning, yes. Mm. But I've been to Lakers games in L.A. You know, a lot of folks who show up in the third quarter leave in the third quarter kind of thing. They say, hey, where are we going to brunch tomorrow? Where's the club at tonight? And then they leave.
You get there at the start of the second half and the Lakers call a timeout with like 8 minutes left.
Exactly.
In the third. All right, let's go.
Let's We're be done. That's it.
Let's get on out of here.
I mean, there are more stars in the stands than there are on that Lakers team, but it really didn't mean a whole lot to me. And the LeBron MJ thing is it is what it is, right?
I'm so over it.
I've been over it for like three years. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Luke Walton looks like Keanu Reeves in Point Break. Like there were like 13 moments in Point Break. Keanu Reeves is almost like stunned, but like stunned by the same thing. Like stunned by the ocean and the waves, and stunned by the guys robbing the banks. And you know what I'm talking about? That Keanu Reeves on the beach look.
Yeah.
Like how did I get to this movie look?
Yeah.
That's Luke Walton during every post game interview. And I feel for him, man, because signing LeBron is a good way to get your front office and your coaches fired.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good, like, if you want to find out, like, how do I make sure that I'm not here in 2 years? Sign LeBron James. And people will bring up Eric Spoelstra. You know why they bring him up? Because he's the only one that survived.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mike Brown didn't make
no,
it?
No, he didn't. Paul Sires didn't make
it. David Blatt?
David Blatt
was 30-11.
They sent
in
David
first
Blatt.
First place in the Eastern Conference.
They sent him back to Europe.
See you later.
David Blatt went back to Europe. Come on, man. it's such a mess.
The other thing, too, is when LeBron leaves, potentially, except for Eric Spoelstra.
That's
LeBron
it.
LeBron leaves your team, that gets you fired.
That gets you fired, man.
Got Tyronn Lue fired, got Mike Brown fired.
Dude, you get fired if you mess with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And Spoelstra's only there because Pat Riley is the Don, and, you know, that's why he's still there.
Yeah.
The Michael Jordan-LeBron argument is dumb, right? Because it's all generational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids younger than us, Manny, the folks younger than us, are probably going to say LeBron's the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got an argument. As a performer, versatility, we've never seen a guy this size do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
34 years old, still one of the top two or three most dominant players in the league. And there's no reason to believe that he won't be top five at 37.
Mm-hmm.
He's just that kind of dude. Michael Jordan, however, was an icon. And the reason why you'll never defeat Michael Jordan fans in an argument, and I got a lot of them in my life, because his streak of dominance is something we'll just never see again. And this way he did it, leaving and coming back, that all built up his legendary status.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to duplicate that. Michael Jordan has something that we'll just never see again. And we always have a conversation about LeBron. Nobody has conversations about Michael Jordan's greatness. It's established, right?
Sure.
No one says, oh, maybe he's... So for you, Manny, does this change anything about LeBron for you and where he stands among the greats?
No, I mean, I think... I look at LeBron James and Michael Jordan. In my opinion, they're the two greatest players of all time. That's fair. This whole conversation, like when LeBron was in Cleveland the first time and he dragged that Cavaliers team in 07 to the finals, and, you know, and then he won the back-to-back MVPs his last 2 years in Cleveland, where they won 60 games 2 years in a row and didn't get to the finals, and then he left for Miami and everything. Even then, like, I was seeing LeBron doing all those things, but I was like, yeah, Mike's got this. This is all Mike. And even when LeBron went to Miami and that first year they lost to Dallas in the finals, it's like, yeah, LeBron ain't even, this isn't even.
No.
But then I saw LeBron lead the Cavaliers back from 3-1 against a 73-9 team, and then I thought, whoa.
Yeah. Impressive.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Impressive.
You know what I mean? Because that, forget about what LeBron did in Miami. He did some great things with the Heat. But that title in 16 with the Cavaliers and the way they did it, down 3-1 against arguably the greatest team of all time.
Yeah.
73-9, at least greatest regular season team of all time.
Yeah.
That holds a lot of weight.
Yeah. I mean, they had to go get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But after that.
But then I, you know, so that kind of changed things with me. But then now, like, I'm seeing this and the way this thing with the Lakers, and it's hard, man. I'm really, really, really torn. And at this point, it's just like, I'm done with the argument. And to me, it's just, they're 1 and 2, and whoever wants to put whoever at 1, fine. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Either way, you know what I mean? Because because what's interesting is, with Michael Jordan, we're not really hearing about anybody else historically right now in the conversation with Michael Jordan.
No.
Great players we saw. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
I mean, people don't even know Kareem has a scoring record.
Right.
They're like, Michael Jordan had the record. That's how good Michael Jordan is.
Will Chamberlain.
Yeah. Had a lot of records.
Bill Russell, all of these guys. But none of them really, like, you hear some old school people say, yeah, well, Wilt was the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nobody really goes hard for any of those guys over Michael.
No.
LeBron's the only one where there is like a movement for a lot of people to say, this guy is better than Michael Jordan.
And it's a movement against it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That argument's going to be what it is. I mean, it's an old argument, a tired argument. Here's the relevance for me. I don't think we'll ever see a great player again that stays with one team.
No.
When I say great, I'm talking all-time great. I think that era's over.
I agree.
And that's unfortunate to me that most of the great players we're watching right now are going to eventually sign with another team.
Mm-hmm.
I could even see a Steph Curry being 32, 33, losing a step, and getting another, going elsewhere, joining a team where he doesn't have to carry as much of the load.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think the era is over. Kyrie's talking about leaving this summer. Anthony Davis wants to trade. LeBron's on his third team.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, the rumors about Cat, and he's going to sign elsewhere. Are we at the point where we should just accept that and just enjoy what you're watching? Because that's his generation. Like, my 10-year-old wants a cell phone. At 10 years old, I had an encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Game Boy, black and white. But guess what? Her culture says that's about the age you start having that cell phone conversation.
Yeah.
Have we reached the point where you look at a Karl Anthony Towns and we stop going, oh my goodness, he's going to leave in 2 years, 3 years, and go, he is probably going to leave. Not because something's wrong with Minnesota, but because that's culture he's
that's
in.
That's just what guys do now. Yeah, I mean, so Cat's got this 5-year contract extension now, right?
Supermax.
I look at it like this with him, and I actually said this on Raised by Wolves yesterday. This team, this organization, the Timberwolves, has 3 years. Over the next 3 years is where they've got to try and put something together around Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, it makes sense.
To contend.
Makes sense.
Before you have to start really thinking about, worrying about, is he going to be, is this going to be Anthony Davis again? And even now people are already kind of thinking about it because we're in the midst of the Anthony Davis situation with the Pelicans. But you got Cat on a 5-year contract, but you've got 3 years to put something together. Like, for me, I'm not even thinking about Karl Anthony Towns beyond 2024.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what are the Timberwolves going to do between now and 2022
exactly
to get themselves in a position to contend in 2022-23.
And is that healthy?
Whatever happens with Cat after that happens. But you got 3 years to put something together to get yourself in a position to contend.
But are we at this guy? But are we at the point, Manny, where that's healthy to think that way? Because it can be. It's either paranoia.
I don't know if it matters, though.
But it's either paranoia or it's just reality. Like, it's even inevitable, or it's something
you're... The reality of the paranoia, maybe?
Maybe. But, I mean, the culture says he'll go at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If LeBron's gone, if Chris Paul and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, if they've all gone...
Kevin Durant might be playing for his third team this summer.
Have we reached a point where loyalty is a word we should eliminate from the conversation?
Yes.
Should loyalty even be something that we expect from an NBA player? And what does it even mean?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just doesn't really have much meaning of anything. And I don't even think it's a bad thing. I think it's just... That's just the era that we're in, not just with the NBA, really in sports in general. I mean, this is a basketball show, but we just saw Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sign.
Deuces.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Manny Machado was in the World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
And now he's a Padre.
Out.
Gone.
$300 million. Holla at your boy.
So it's we're in this era of, not just with basketball, but with sports in general, where guys, it's just free agency, contracts, winning and losing. All of this stuff is, and these guys are all wanting to make decisions for themselves. That's why Anthony Davis is in the situation that he's in. He wants to make a change, and he wants to take control of his career.
Yeah.
You know, that's the era that we're in. And I know there might be a lot of old school people who don't like it and think that, I mean, I will say I have an appreciation for, you know, the Reggie Millers of the world who played 18 years with the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Didn't put on another single uniform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Tim Duncan, 19 years in San Antonio. Yeah. Now, with Timmy, I mean, he won a championship in his second year, so it was easy
for him. Yeah, that helped.
Even though there was the rumors of, like, he almost went to Orlando and all
that.
Have
you heard
that
story?
Yeah.
Of what happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They get on the team plane, and Tim says, I want my family to be able to fly on a private plane, and the Magic say, no, we don't do that. And Tim goes, all right.
See you later.
Back to San Antonio.
Yep.
No, but you're right. Those are guys who play.
We're not in that era anymore.
But we grew up respecting guys for that. For playing that way and for being a part of a team, even though we kind of lied to ourselves, because a lot of our childhood heroes switched. I mean, Charles Barkley went to the Houston Drexler. I mean, a lot of guys
Hakeem
that we saw
Olajuwon
growing up.
Hakeem, for the Toronto Raptors.
I mean, Ewing bounced around. A lot of guys. But I feel like that was more of guys at the end of their careers trying to chase championships. I mean, Michael comes back to the Wizards only because he was a GM and wanted to kind of add some spark to that team. But this is more of the guys in their prime. And the difference is, look how much money these young guys have today.
Mm-hmm.
People are asking, why aren't guys going to play with LeBron in L.A.? All these guys live in L.A. in the offseason.
Yeah.
They've all got mansions in L.A. They have so much money.
Jimmy Butler lives in L.A. Kevin Garnett has a place in Los Angeles.
They have so much money that they've all got a place in L.A. So there's no more, oh, my goodness, you know, I can't go to L.A. I want to go to L.A. so I can be there. These guys are there half the year.
And the money is, everybody's getting the money. So it's not a situation where it's like, and the NBA has rules in place where the original team of that player can give him the most money.
Exactly.
But there's so much money, Myron, that it doesn't matter.
What's Carl Towns going to make in this Supermax deal?
190. If he makes an All-NBA team, which it looks like the way he's been playing, it looks like he's going to. He's this contract, which right now is slated for 158 for 5 years, it's going to go up to 190 for 5 years.
So Carl Towns gets $190 million. He is 24? 23.
He'll be 24 in November.
So by 25 years old, Carl Towns has made $190 million plus whatever he's made to this point. Carl Towns has made more than $200 million by the time he's 28. Who is anybody to tell that guy where he can and can't go?
Right.
He's not chasing money. He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different attitude. The earlier generation of players, there wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
Remember, Michael Jordan doesn't get that $28 million, $30 million until the end of his run.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I know we got to take a break here, but maybe we should just embrace the reality that, yeah, Carl Towns will probably leave one day, but it's not about the Timberwolves as much as it's about the culture that he currently exists in. We'll be back after this.
Pinning our ears back. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf, Myron on Hoops with Manny Hill. There's a line to be drawn when it comes to the criticism of Andrew Wiggins. And I don't ever want to cross that line.
Is the line just how much you even talk about him?
It might be. It might be. But, I mean, you can get... The thing I've tried to avoid in this business is... I've tried to avoid personal attacks. I mean, I don't get into that. Because they're still human beings. Yeah. Yes. You're on a world stage, making a ton of money. You're going to be scrutinized. We're scrutinized. I mean, you may hate the show, hate us, whatever. I mean, that's fair game. But I don't like to go beyond that. And my fear with the Andrew Wiggins conversation sometimes is I don't ever want to appear as if there's anything beyond basketball with how he's assessed. Because you can fall into that. Mm-hmm. And you can start to dislike. There's not one athlete that I like dislike. I mean, they're players. I judge them accordingly. All that said, it sometimes gets hard to not talk about Andrew Wiggins when you see some of the numbers that are out there.
Yeah.
Kurt Goldsberry is a analyst for NBA for ESPN. He's the author of a book called Sprawl Ball that's out in April, and he's a professor at the University of Texas. Used to be the VP of strategic research with the San Antonio Spurs. He put out a tweet, Manny, that
I know which tweet you're talking
shocked
about.
Shocked me. And he put it out about 1 o'clock today. Well, actually, I'm sorry, about 1 o'clock Thursday. He says, Andrew Wiggins can't shoot. One, out of 133 players with at least 500 field goal attempts this season, he ranks 132nd in true shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. Number two, out of 46 players with at least 500 field goal attempts beyond 8 feet, he ranks 45th in field goal percentage. Manny, there's a chart attached to it.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Andrew Wiggins, field goal percentage beyond 8 feet is 32.5%. 32.5%. Now, the easy answer is let's stop talking about it. Now, true shooting percentage, for those that don't know, it's sort of a more accurate way to measure a player's shooting.
Efficiency.
It incorporates field goal percentage, free throws, three-point percentage, a number of factors. But that's a devastating stat.
Yeah.
Because we've now entered the phase where this might be the worst contract in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything's happening this offseason to change this situation.
Nope.
So,
we were talking about this on Raised by Wolves yesterday afternoon. If you want to eliminate yourself from this contract, that is Andrew Wiggins, you're going to have to attach an asset to it.
Yes, which you're not going to do.
You're not going to do that.
You're not giving
up. Not this summer, you're not going to do that.
You're not giving, but you're not even giving up 2020, 21 pick. I mean, you're not doing that. So, I mean, you're looking at one of the worst contracts in the league. Mm-hmm. So what's the real solution? As much as we talked about on this show, Manny, accepting that one day Karl Towns might leave, just because that's the culture of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Folks have to accept that this is the Andrew Wiggins situation. We're here. Nothing's happening this offseason that's going to change it. Nope. Nobody's swooping in to take this money off the Timberwolves' hands. But he is legitimately one of the worst shooters in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Your only hope has to be that this guy puts in a miraculous offseason.
Not holding my breath.
No one is, but a miraculous offseason.
Yeah.
And just improves. I mean, I don't know. I understand every fan who says I'm off that train.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting for him to improve. Stop telling me that. I'm done. But there's no other way there's no other place to go.
I've said that in the last couple of days. I've said their best play for this situation is to endure this thing for the next 2 years after this season is over. Endure this thing for 2 years. And as you get closer to the end of the contract, it will be a little bit easier to move.
Yes.
And right now, they just have to endure these next 2 years. To your point, hope, pray, wish upon a star, rubber genie's
something,
lamp.
Something.
Whatever, that he improves.
Yes, you need something. Get everything.
And then, you know, and when you get to 2021, there's only 2 years left on the contract then. It might be a little bit easier to move, and maybe you have, you know, maybe you're in a better position where you can give up, you know, some sort of an asset to sort of, you know, and there might be a team later on down the line that might be willing to take on that money because it's, at that point, it's a shorter contract. I don't know. But yeah. that's their best play right now because they're not going to get rid of that contract this summer.
Oh, you can't.
Or next summer, for that matter.
No, you can't get rid of that money. But I hope something changes. Boris Diaw started his career at about, I think he was about a 27% three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Boris Diaw in his best years became a 40% three-point shooter.
Phoenix, right?
Phoenix.
Third year in Phoenix you had with D'Antoni, yeah. Then he eventually got to San Antonio.
Yeah. I hope Andrew Wiggins does something. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be remembered as, forget one of the worst Wolves or the worst contracts with the Wolves. I mean, like he's one of the worst players in the league right now.
Yes.
You know?
And there are numbers to show it.
Like, if that, Manny, doesn't mean something to you, then I don't know what else will.
That's where it's, with him, it's all up here, man.
But that's just...
It's all up here.
When I saw those numbers...
How badly do you want it?
When I saw those numbers, they were a bit shocking. Thanks, as always, for joining us on Myron on Hoops. Manny Hill, Myron Metcalf. We'll be back next Friday.